Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Hundreds of years later, that prophecy spoken by Isaiah, the prophet, came true, became reality in a little town called Bethlehem. In Luke chapter 2, we read the Christmas story again. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. Oh, how quickly we run over that thought. How quickly we try to erase the scandal of that statement. His betrothed, not his wife. His fiance, not his spouse. We can't imagine the cloud that Mary and Joseph walked under with that stigma of her bearing a child, having a child. And they weren't married. But while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord had shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. That's a polite way of saying they were scared to death. They were terrified. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Let's pray. Open your word to us, Lord. We need your help. We know that the unaided human mind cannot sort through the truth and the reality of this word. We need your spirit to guide us, and we ask for that this morning. I especially ask, Father, that you will just speak to hearts that are weary today, hurting, struggling. You know who they are. You know where they are. And I ask, Lord, that you'll just help us right now to feel the presence of your spirit as we have done throughout this morning, and to know that you're with us, we pray in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. What are you going to get them for Christmas? What do you really need for Christmas this year? I mean, really and truly, what do you need for Christmas? What is that gift that if you got it, you would go, that's it. That now, it's, my goodness, it's going to be a joyful year and everything's going to be great. What do you really need for Christmas this year? That's a question we're all asking right now, isn't it? What do they need? We go, well, you got to buy the perfect present, right? So what do they need? Well, we live in a culture where people really don't need much of anything materially. What do they need? What do you need for Christmas this year? Those of you on the promise this morning listening, online listening, what do you need for Christmas this year? I want to talk about, you know, there's a Christmas, the Christmas carol that has the line that says there's a thrill of hope a weary world rejoices. I don't know of a time in my lifetime when the world has seemed more weary than it does right now. Everything. From the news cycle, COVID, you know, the plague of the week, whatever we're dealing with, all the different realities health-wise that are hitting us, all the financial struggles that we're having with the stock market and Elon Musk taking over Twitter. And it's just, you know, it's just wearying. We open the news cycle and here again, another war, another continuation of a war. We're going to start dropping nuclear bombs. It's just, the world is tired. And some of you are just really tired. Battling an illness, head to the hospital. Talked to 3 people today going to the hospital this week. Maybe to the funeral home. It's weary. It's tired. And in the midst of that, there is something in the Christmas story that we keep missing every year, partly because we make the Christmas story a cartoon and not a reality. Or we might let it just live way back in history, and once a year we blow the dust off of it and look at it again. But I want to answer the questions I've been asking you this morning with the text that we read. And I want you to see, there's one verse. I just want you to look at one verse with me. And I want to look at it over and over and over and over again, because this is where we find the answers. The angel of the Lord came to shepherds. Let me tell you something, folks. Nobody on the planet was wearier than shepherds. Their job is boring, it's nonstop, and it doesn't pay well. You think, oh, I must be a shepherd because that sounds like my job, you know. All night they have to watch the sheep. They have to stay alert, stay awake. Don't go to sleep. The wolf will get them. The lion will take them. The bear will break in. During the day it's just hot. They didn't even have a phone to look at. I mean, it was just wearisome. And to those weary men, the angel of the Lord came at night and said 3 things. Number one, I bring you good news. First he said, don't be afraid. Then he said, I bring you good news. I bring you great joy, and it's for everyone. Good news, great joy, everyone. Who doesn't need a little good news right now? I mean, give me something. Give me some kind of good news. Give me something that says, oh no, your stocks are gone, your 401k shot, your retirement's out the window. Your house is worth nothing. Give me some good news. I mean, really, have you ever just looked and said, really? Just a little bit. But listen, this is beyond good news that we're hearing. The word in Greek is evangel. The evangel, and we have kind of baptized the word evangelism, but evangel was a word that simply meant news. It meant news. It was the way news was communicated back in biblical times, in ancient times. The news was communicated by men who would ride in on horses with a declaration or with a statement. For instance, when the people of in the Roman Empire were being told there's a new tax, not good news, There's a new tax coming. They sent riders in. They sent people. They sent soldiers into town to read the decree from the Caesar. You are to go to your hometown, you're to be registered, and you're to be taxed. Bad news, bad news, bad news. They've just gotten that. Now, here's what I want you to understand about news. Whether they wanted to hear it or not, whether they liked what they were hearing or not, whether they believed what they were hearing or not, it was still true. Christians, sometimes we get this wrong. First of all, I need to remind you that when we're talking to people about Jesus, let's make it sound like good news. You hear me? We're not good at that. We're great at making it sound like bad news. It's good news. You know, we're making it sound like, hey, we're going to tax you. No, this is good news. But whether the person that you are telling about Jesus believes you or not, I told some folks about Jesus between the service, whether they believe me or not, whether they received that or not, whether they wanted to accept that or not, doesn't matter. It's still true. Jesus Christ is still Lord. Amen. And he's the only way you can be saved. It's still true. So you're going out bearing news. You're going out carrying news into the world. All right, the angel of the Lord came, and this is a reputable source, okay? So this is not fake news. This was a reputable source. The angel of the Lord came and spoke this word to the shepherds, and then a chorus of angels, we don't know how many, joined that singular angel and said, just to confirm, hey, this is true, and this is from heaven, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Okay, so basically they just echoed what that angel said as witnesses to the news. It's good news, first of all. Secondly, it's good news, but it's also great joy. Great joy. Now, you're supposed to be joyful at Christmas, right? Come on, let's just be honest. What is it that brings you joy? I mean, do you love to cook? Do you love to bake? Do you love to get certain kinds of food? Or, you just like the time together, all the time with family? Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, no, that's not wonderful. What brings you joy? What is it about Christmas that brings you joy? If you're not a believer, how can you be happy right now? What makes you happy? The tinsel, the lights, the cartoons? I mean, the joy is kind of on a sliding scale. There are some people that, well, Christmas doesn't really get it for them. We have one picture. Let me just show you that one. You know, I mean, maybe you're like that guy, you know, and there's one down here. You know, I mean, maybe that's just you identify with that. Okay, that's Christmas in me. That's the way it works. Maybe you're on the other end of the spectrum. Let's look at the other picture. Maybe you're there, and that's a little bit more like how you deal with Christmas. And it's just and you don't even know. I mean, is it happy because we get to eat, you know, spaghetti with, you know, pancake syrup on it? I mean, what is it that makes you happy? Is it the sugar? Is it the sugar rush? Is that what it is? What makes you joyful? And you know what? A lot of people, if you ask them, ask the simple question. Hey, why are you joyful? I don't know. You like crowds? You like shopping? You like spending money on stuff that people, you know, you're going to get it for your kids, and 3 minutes later, they're going to set it down and say, what else is there? What do you do? Why are we doing this? What if there is such a thing as a joy that never stops? You see, because here's what happens. Even if you get some joy out of your decorations and out of all the other stuff, along about the last week of December, what happens? You have to start packing it all back up again, don't you? And then somebody has to take responsibility for tangling all those lights back up again and, you know, putting a knot and putting them in a box. What is there in your life that brings you joy that doesn't stop? What is there? You see what the shepherds were talking about, and this is not joy, this is not happiness, this is not, he didn't say, oh, I'm gonna make you really happy. You know, that's what the fairy princess does. He didn't, you know, he's not talking about that. He didn't say, I'm gonna, you know, it's silly, like, you know, like Elf. It's not, it's something else. It's an abiding sense of just joy. There's no other word for it. And let me tell you something, folks. You are not going to find it looking in here. You're not going to find it inside. You cannot manufacture joy inside yourself. You know, you can find your zen or your chakra or your whatever inside, but you cannot find joy. You find joy inside of yourself because of an objective reality that is outside of you. John describes it in this way in 1 John chapter 1. That which we have seen with our eyes, heard with our ears, handled with our hands, that's the word of life. We saw Jesus. We heard Jesus. We touched Jesus. And that's what makes our joy complete. Not a fanciful story about an elf with a bag full of gifts. That's not how it works. This joy surpasses, transcends that trip to the hospital or that trip to the graveyard or that lonely moment when you're sitting out in the hallway waiting for a judge to say you're officially divorced. It goes beyond that. It's real joy. That doesn't mean you're grinning all the time. It doesn't mean you're giddy all the time. It doesn't always even mean you will look and go, oh, I really feel happy. It's just there's joy inside you. Can I tell you something? I know it works. I know it does. I've experienced it. When I shouldn't be joyful, I have been joyful. When my circumstances were not happy stances, I felt joy. It's real. And some of you may say today, well, I don't feel joy today. I'm a Christian. I don't feel joy. Well, it's because you've lost your focus. So you, what happens is we make the mistake of thinking that we just need to look inside. We need to go inside of ourselves. We'll find, no, you won't. I've already told you. You will not find anything but despair looking inside yourself. If you will look to Jesus, you'll find joy. Amen. If you'll look to Jesus, you'll find joy. It's that simple. So it's good news, great joy. But here's the last thing. It's all the people. It's anybody. It's everybody. Nobody's left out. Not even the left outs are left out. Not even the outcasts are left out. The first time the evangel, the good news, the gospel was spoken on planet Earth was to some of the most outcast, despised people in society. They got the word first. So you think, well, I don't, you know, I've had people say, I don't fit here. You know, I don't belong here. You guys are too high class. Can I tell you an honest thing? Can I just be really honest with you as your pastor? Because I'm leaving anyway, you know, so you can get mad at me if you want to. I get busted every now. Why don't you wear a suit? I look good in a suit. I look good in a suit. I do. I have a big Tupperware box of ties. I mean, I love, you know, Pam and I used to go to Steinmart, and I would fix their tie selection. If you worked for Steinmart, you know, now you know. But I didn't like the way they would put the ties together on some of the displays, so I would fix it. That's what I did. When she was shopping, I was over there fixing them. I'm going, that's me. Okay, so that's me. But But when I had a person tell me, I won't come to your church because I don't own a suit, I said, then I'm never going to wear a suit again. Now you can agree that's a good thing or not, but that's the way it's going to be. Jesus came for the outcasts, people that can't afford a suit or a dress, the people that don't know how to act when they come to church, the people that everybody else in the culture pushes aside. It is no accident that Jesus Christ came incarnate in flesh, in the flesh, in a virgin who was not married, but everyone that saw Joseph and Mary together went, aha, we know what's been going on. That was not an oops on God's part. That was intentional. Because he knew that those two people would be rejected and despised. But that's who he came for. The outsiders. The outcast. The people that we look at and go, ooh, they're pretty rough. Yeah. They are. And I'm glad they're here. All people. But listen, all people need the joy. They need the good news. They need the joy. And so God made a way. Listen, the Christmas, if we could just put it in a box and a big bow on it, put it right here as a gift with your name on it, you have to come. It's a great gift. It's a gift that'll change your life. It'll change your world. It'll change everything about you. It'll change your character, your nature, your eternity. Just one thing. You have to open it. And you have to say, yes, I want that. I can buy you the nicest gift in the world. I can't make you open the present. But there's a gift. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, when the angel came, one of the things, we just kind of clean this up and make it so palatable sometimes, we miss the point. When the angel came on Christmas, on that first Christmas night, and spoke to the shepherds, angels were not soft little furry creatures floating around like a fairy princess in a bubble in a Hallmark movie. Angels were terrifying beings, really. Their presence terrified. They were that. They were often warriors. But let me tell you why that's appropriate at Christmas. God was declaring war on Christmas night. He landed on earth. He established a beachhead in a little town called Bethlehem. And he came to say, this world is mine. And I'm here to take it back. And everything that is made is mine. It's mine. Let me tell you who wasn't joyful on Christmas night. Satan was not joyful. He knew what was about to happen now. Christmas is a declaration of war on the enemy who has destroyed the world in so many ways and made the world so weary. Maybe you're weary today. You're just tired. You're tired of everything. I've talked to enough people who have sat in my office in front of me and just said, you know, I just want to go home and take some pills and sleep and don't wake up again. I've heard it once. I've heard it a dozen times. Why? I'm just so tired. I'm just so tired. I don't want to do it anymore. The weary world rejoices at Christmas because there's good news. Because there's great joy in that good news. Redeemer has come. The Savior has come. And it's for anybody. Anybody. You're weary. You're joyless. You're welcome to come. Gift is right here, waiting for you. All you have to do is say, that's what I want. Now, here's what we have special today. I still have a baptistry with warm water in it. I even have a horse trough outside with warm water in it. This message is not for everybody in here today. It's not. You see, the only people that miss the joy at Christmas, that miss the gift of Christmas, are the people that don't want it. But 80-85% of you in here, this is your gift. You know, yes, that's salvation. I want that. I needed that. That was good. And you've said yes. I want you to pray for that person around you this morning, because there's another 10% or 15 maybe of people here who have never, number one, heard the gospel, number two, responded to it. They may be sitting right in front of you and you're looking at the back of their head right now. Pray for them. I don't even know their name. You pray for them. Pray for that person behind you, looking at the back of your head. Beside you. There are people in here today who need this gift. The gift of the forgiveness of sin through the grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And if you don't know that gift, you'll never know the joy. But the Bible says this. God has given Jesus a name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Bad news before the good news. The bad news is we are all sinners and we need to be forgiven. The good news is you can be forgiven. But you have to bow to Jesus for that to take place. Father, have your way in us right now. This moment of decision is important to some folks here today. I know we're already making plans for dinner or lunch or whatever we're going to do in a moment and our afternoon. But Father, there's a war, there's a battle going on in this very room right now in hearts, spirits. The stakes are higher than life and death. They are spiritual life and death. Help us to see our need. Help us to see the gift of our Savior. Help us to see the life that You alone can bring to end the weariness, to end the joylessness, and to help us to find new life in Jesus, for it's in his name that we pray. I'm going to ask you to stand right now, and if, listen, you need to come. I know you don't understand. You don't have to understand everything. You don't have, I'm not going to ask you a bunch of questions that to stump you. I just want you to come and say, I want to know life. I want to know what's in that box. I want to open that. I want to receive that. And maybe just to come to say, hey, the water's still warm. Can I be baptized today? The answer is yes. You need to come down here. Let us know. So we're going to sing. While we're singing, that's your time to make these decisions and come.